Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, including also a small review of the entire chapter 5. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth for ever and ever. The redemption blood in the verse number 9 includes the complete sacrifice of God's Son, our only Redeemer. The divine character of the only true God, the ever-living and life-giving Creator and Savior, is not demanding, but giving. But should he demand anything from anyone? The entire universe is his own. He could rightfully demand that we give him back what we owe him, but he provided ransom to cover all our debts. In many of his judgments manifested so far, against the sins of humanity, he is just holding back some of his provisions, and that only after long, stubborn rejection of his loving, caring provisions. The Lord Jesus presented simple rules to Adam how to be safe, secured, and ever blessed in the Garden of Eden. The man's choice was to give all in exchange for an experiment based on Satan's deception. Many times through the history, men refused to acknowledge their dependence on and proper use of God's provisions. God withheld rain showers, and men had famine. Men refused to love one another, and soon they had wars. The multitudes of the heavenly hosts are glorifying God. God is teaching us to understand His glory, because we cannot be blessed and have lasting happiness without adoring Him and living to please Him. The universe is full of God's glory. The Holy Scriptures are full of God's holiness, beauty, and majesty. We could rightly judge that the Word of God and the universe bow down in adoration of God. The Son of God is the Lion, just to please and glorify the Father. The Father delights in honoring and glorifying His Son. Christ is the Lion against the devil on our behalf to please the Father. The Father is thrilled to give us, as a present, a bride to the Son. Our King is the Lion in us. The martyrs are a living testimony of this fact. Our greatest joy is to give ourselves in love and never faltering loyalty to our Master and the Bridegroom of our souls. The Lamb of God is our ransom. The Lamb redeemed us from the just judgment to glorify the Father in God's mercy and grace. The Father glorifies the Son in the marvelous redemption and blesses us with the desire to glorify the Father and the Son. Our priest is according to the order of Melchizedek to intercede since the beginning and into the endless eternity. The Son loves to be between us and the Father, not to separate, but to unite us with Him who loves us in His Son. The visions of the heavenly throne signify so much of the divine glory to cultivate in us lasting blessedness. We are with Him on His throne when we behold Him as He is. We are involved in His honor. Our prayers and praises are in their harps and vials of fragrance in the verse number 8, and the essence of them is expressed in the verses 9 and 10. In Luke 15, verse 7, we see the heavenly joy in our repentance, which is Christ's victory in our heart. Verses 9 and 10 are the heavenly praise of Christ's victory in our daily walk and our adoration. It was joy in heaven in our repentance and genuine conversion. There is joyful praise in heaven when we journey victoriously to the end. But look at this crescendo in the following verses. Ecstasy of the host. Verses 11 and 12. Numberless multitudes of the heavenly hosts surround the throne and join us in the celebration. The loudest and the sweetest harmony of praise to the blessed Redeemer from His ever faithful angelic hosts united with the redeemed souls fills the universe. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory and blessing. But what is the meaning of this exclamation? Is not all the power, wealth, wisdom, strength, honor, glory and blessing His? Is not He the source of it all? I think this is an acknowledgement, praise to God, our Creator and Savior, for all that He is and all of His great and marvelous works. It's also an open and rapturous confession of our full confidence in and dependence on Him, our source, our great giver of all gifts and blessings, salvation in Christ being the greatest of all. By this praise we express our understanding of proper use of all God's gifts, to glorify our Lord Jesus, to bless the members of His body, to reach out to all we see in need of deliverance from the sin slavery, and to defeat the adversary, the devil. In this awareness, we live in God's kingdom already, in this world. This way, we are an image of our blessed Master. We are in heaven, although our feet are walking on this ground. This world has become our battleground, where, in Christ, we are victorious. As we keep our eyes of faith focused on our Master, we see our eternal future in glory, and He is leading us through victory. No battle outcome is uncertain, no suffering too hard when our souls rest assured in the arms of His loving care. Satan cannot harm us with his craftiness, vanity, and pride. We know all the gifts and fruits of the Spirit in our daily use are our Good Shepherd's property and His loving, patient work in and through us. Another step forward as we follow our King of Kings, and we will be with Him forever, even before our soul gets transferred. In the last two verses of this chapter, the entire world is engulfed in Christ's victory. Verse 13, every living being in the entire universe is proclaiming, blessing, honor, glory, and power to Him on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Nothing is meaningless, senseless, confusing, or disheartening. Our victorious Captain leads us through the glorious battle toward His ultimate triumph. Verse 14, the four living beings on and around the throne say, Amen. The 24 elders prostrate themselves in worship of the Most High, living forever and ever. Every testimony recorded in the book, all the witnesses since the beginning, the heaven and the universe, unite in a thunderous Amen, rolling on and on. In all of that glory, entirely by the grace of God our Father, completely on the merit of Christ our Savior, we are united with the magnificent grandeur of glorifying God. Our soul is also exclaiming, Amen. We also fall prostrate before our wonderful Creator and Savior, united with all the souls ransomed since the beginning. In John 17:5, the glory of the Son in the Father is eternal. In Acts 4:10-12, we see the only Savior of all who trust and obey the Lord. That grace of God saved Abel, the righteous, and Enoch, the faithful prophet. The last one saved by the Lord is saved by that same grace. God's glory is eternal. His gospel is everlasting. I'm only at the end of the chapter 5. I wonder what will land on my mind as I journey through the rest of this magnificent book. So far, in the first 5 chapters, the spiritual dimensions are measureless. This vision is history, prophecy, and the gospel message in it is universal and essentially eternal. What a glory! If we reflect across this chapter 5 only, the nature and the structure of the gospel is unfolding in new light again. The eternal Father is on the throne in His power, glory, and grace, as He always is, forever. Verse 1. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 12, the still small voice Elijah heard is as powerful as the voice of the mighty angel in this chapter 5, verse 2. This power is everlasting. In the verse 3, the uniqueness of Christ, the Son of God, is eternal and glorious. The lamentable condition of the fallen humanity began with sin and continues forever without salvation in Christ. The impossibility of finding any person worthy, able to be the Messiah, to lift up the fallen and to deliver the captives, this impossibility is everywhere in the entire universe outside of Christ our Lord. This search through the entire universe, the Holy Spirit presented to John to develop awareness in our mind of our total dependence on Christ in our soul's most important need, redemption and deliverance. The Father had no need to look for the Savior. God's only begotten Son offered Himself to His Father. John's anguish and sorrowing indicates our soul's desperate need of the Savior on one hand, and magnifies our right to be grateful forever. For there was one worthy and willing to suffer and die for us. He is also resurrected for us to bring before the Father a throng to adore Him, as He alone is worthy of eternal adoration. Everyone trusting and obeying our Savior receives the blessing of seeing our Father in the Son. Each one can see the Lion in the Lamb. One look at the great Redeemer ends all weeping. In Christ is our endless joy. This good news was heralded by the hopeful bride of Christ since God's faithful prophet Enoch. From the throne of the Most High, through the entire message of His Word, by all the faithful ones of old, by many signs of God's displeasure and judgment, and by multitudes of blessings and miraculous rescues, this same Holy Spirit is revealing the only Savior. In chapter 1, verses 11 through 20, the Spirit revealed this majestic messenger, bringing the message of mercy and life everlasting from the Father. In the chapters 2 and 3, we see more and more of Him in every message to all churches. In the chapter 4, verse 5, this Holy Spirit's presence is indicated by the 7 flames, as if to illuminate the glory of God so even we can see it. In this chapter, verse 5, the Holy Spirit is indivisible, one with the Lamb, 7 horns and 7 eyes. I perceive the horns signify the power, both authority and might. The eyes tell us of His omniscience, both in His foreknowledge and experience. The one Holy Spirit is presented in the quantity, number 7, to teach us His all-sufficient presence and power to lift up from the dead all who hear, believe, trust, and obey the Son. The same Spirit keeps alive all creatures, even the microscopic organisms, same as the gigantic beings, glorify the Almighty Creator and our only Savior. Not one sparrow is forgotten. The whole creation glorifies God. No creature is as rebellious as the sinners blindly following Satan into everlasting doom, in spite of so much human decay. So much of the creation exists to glorify the Creator and to fill His children with awe and adoration, with revelation and new understanding that there is an endless source of enlightenments in our Father and our Redeemer. He loves us with His everlasting love. Glory to God. I learned of some interpretations telling that this book or scroll signifies not the entire work of our Lord. Some others are convinced that this scroll, having 7 seals, must mean God's entire work till the end. The argument is non-existent at this point. All power is given to Him in the universe, Matthew 28:18. Our Prince of Peace, the only Lion Lamb of God, fulfilled, is fulfilling, and will fulfill our Father's will perfectly. Our Heavenly Father has His perfect choice in His Son, and the Son pleased the Father well in everything. In the Son, our Lord and Savior, all His redeemed are forever blessed worshippers in endless eternity. But also now, while we trust and obey Him as we journey through this world to His and our heavenly home.